It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. So good to have you on the program today. My name is Keith Manley, and I'm your host for the program today. I want to talk to you today from Romans, the third chapter, a couple of verses that really ring true in the day that we're living in. It says this, the Apostle Paul writes, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Doesn't it seem, friend, like our whole world has just fallen under a spell of slumber, not even discerning the times in which we live? Do you sort of have the feeling like you had after the second plane hit on 9/11 and where you just kind of knew something was up? I mean, we've been going through some situations in our world today where there's a woke ideology that's being enforced all over our world. Corporations are putting and implementing these woke ideas, and really what they call woke is actually a spirit of slumber. And Paul's telling us here, it's time to wake from our slumber. It's time to have a real awakening. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, Paul said this in verse 12. He said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Wow. You know, it seems like again today, Satan is pulling out all the stops, and he's just literally sucking people in with just deception in this day in which we live. We're living in the final hours, friend, before Jesus comes back. In Matthew 24, Jesus gave us some of the best prophetic teaching regarding the end of days. He told us that when certain things start to happen, we need to look up because our redemption's drawing nigh. It's getting close. He said, "See that you're not troubled," in Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8. He says, "See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Notice Jesus began here by telling his followers, "See that you're not troubled." That's not an easy thing in this day, but it is a decision that we have to make. I have to refuse to allow the events that are going on in the world today to bring me into anxiety and fear, because that's what the enemy wants. And then he states this, "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." It's so easy for us to become troubled by what's going on in our world today, the politics, all the things that's happening today. But listen to what Jesus said. He went on to say, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." We've been seeing this for decades, but it seems like today our world is on fire with war. And have you stopped to notice the unrest that's in the world today? I mean, there's trouble going on all over the globe. But Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And in the next chapter, Matthew 25, Jesus gives us a parable to drive home his point. It's called the parable of the 10 virgins. He said in Matthew 25:5, "The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep." That's always bothered me because there were 5 wise virgins and there were 5 foolish virgins. The wise virgins represented the church, those that are truly born again. The foolish virgins, they represented the religious crowd, those that are just putting on the show, but they don't really have the goods inside. See, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and then the Bible said they all became drowsy and fell asleep. You see, friend, I believe even the church world today has fallen asleep. It's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus went back to the Father to prepare a place for us. And in our minds, that's a long time coming. We're a people of time. But God doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity. So he's not in a hurry. Two groups of people here, the religious and the righteous. The religious, they look good, but they don't have the oil. The righteous, they have the oil, even though they seemingly fall asleep and become drowsy like everyone else. The church world, in this day and age, I believe, is asleep. We've been drinking the Kool-Aid of political correctness. And Paul says in our text, the hour has come for you to wake up. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, John writes, he says, so remember what you have received and heard, this is Jesus speaking to the church, and keep it and repent. And he went on to say to the church, he said, therefore, if you do not wake up, notice it uses my word therefore, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. You see, Jesus, when he comes, for the church, it's not going to be like a thief, because we're going to know his soon appearing. His appearing is soon. But for the world and the religious crowd, he's coming like a thief. They're not going to know when it hits. We need to understand the times. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, he said, and do this, understanding the present time. And then second thing he said was, the hour has come to wake up from your slumber. So we need to understand the times. And you know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, David assembles all of his fighting forces in Ziklag. And I alluded to this the other day on a program. There was one group of people in verse 32 that he mentioned called the sons of Issachar. And what was so amazing about these guys, just in case you've never heard of them, the Bible said this about the sons of Issachar, some of David's fighting men. It said they were men who understood the times. With knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200 and all their kinsmen were at their command. These were no ordinary soldiers. These were soldiers who understood the times and they had knowledge of what Israel should do. God, give us frontline pastors today who understand the times in which we live, because the world has changed, my friend. You and I are living in the final days. We're living in difficult times. Paul said to the church in Romans 13, he said, the hour has come for you to wake from your slumber. I want to challenge you today, my friend. Don't let the enemy lull you to sleep, but wake up from the slumber. And you need to have your eyes fixed towards the eastern sky. We need to be busy with the Great Commission, sharing the lost with each and every one that we possibly can. See, his return is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul said in Romans 13, verse 11, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And then he tells us, put aside deeds of darkness. The final thing that Paul tells us here is to put aside the deeds of darkness. In other words, it's time to lay aside the sin and every weight that so easily besets us and run the race for the prize that is set before us. Satan will try his best to drag us into sin and entice us. But Paul said, we're on the home stretch now. It's close enough you can see it coming. It's time to freshen up, set aside the garbage, clean up, because you're almost home. And then he goes on in verse 12. He said, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, my friend, I turned 65 this past year, 65, and I began my church when I was 25 years old. 40 years have gone by, and I must tell you, it's like the blink of an eye. It's just like I blinked my eye, and 40 years passed by. Did you ever look in the mirror and you think, man, I can't be that old? I was thinking about that the other day. And I believe the reason we sometimes feel like that is because even though the body gets old, our spirit and our soul are eternal. They don't live in time. They live in eternity. And I'm here to tell you, in another blink of an eye, you and I are going to be on the other side of this journey. We're going to be with the Lord who died for us. And we're going to see him as he is. And I believe with all of my heart, it is so soon. We often think that Bible prophecy revolves around America. But, you know, I don't even find America mentioned at all in Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy revolves around Yeshua Jesus and the nation of Israel. I've spent most of my life studying the nation of Israel. I've been there 31 times on tours that I lead, and I would be there today if it were not for the fact of the events of October 7th of last year. I believe the events of October 7 has propelled us into some crucial days for Israel. And there's going to be coming a person on the scene, an Antichrist, before long, and he is going to be coming to the nation of Israel and deceiving them. Ezekiel chapter 36 gives a prophecy. It was a prophecy to the land. God said this, "But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I will multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt." So God gives a prophecy first to the land. And he says, prepare you land, you get ready because my people Israel are coming home. And that happened in May of 1948. And then God gave a prophecy in Ezekiel 37 about the return of his people to Israel. Listen what he said in verse 4. "Then he stated to me, prophesy to these bones." Ezekiel sees this valley of dry bones. And he said, "Prophesy to them and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." See, Israel had been through the Holocaust. Millions of Jews were slaughtered. They were nothing more than a valley of dry bones scattered across the earth. But God went on and he said, "So I prophesied," verse 7, Ezekiel, "I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." And then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Wow. You see, friend, the thing that lets me know we're living in the last days is God brought back the nation of Israel. On May 14th, 1948, something happened that just propelled us into the final days. See, God gave this prophecy to Israel. In verses 25 through 28 of Ezekiel, he said, "They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever." Don't think they're going to move the Israelites, the Jews, out of the promised land. It's not going to happen because God said they'll live there forever once he brings them home. "And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It'll be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever." Now, that's not going to happen until after the return of Jesus to where his sanctuary is with them forever. And Zechariah speaks about the fulfillment of that when all Israel will be saved. You see, Israel is this 20th century miracle. Who would have ever believed on May 14, 1948? See, in the late 1800s, thousands of Jews began returning to the land of Israel to work the land, which today is known as Israel. In 1897, the first Zionism conference was held by Theodore Herzl in Switzerland. And proposing the idea of a modern state of Israel, who could have ever believed it possible? A nation that had been extinct for 2,000 years, and yet God would bring them back to life. And he did it, friend, in order to bring about his end time plan. God has a plan. Do you know, friend, Jesus is coming back? If you're not ready, you need to call on him today. Ask him into your heart. Say, "God, forgive me for my sins. I believe Jesus is the Savior. The Son of God died for my sins and rose again on the third day." Ask him into your heart. He'll change your life. He'll give you purpose for living. God loves you, my friend. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he he makes his mercies new every morning.